a time to tear down and a time to rebuild. I think about time to tear down. I got a little pump house over here where one of my wells are, and that little house is slowly deteriorated, and the roof started leaking, and I got up and put some shingles on it, but they didn't stay, and it kept leaking, and over the years, it finally deteriorated to the point that the roof was just, you know, leaking inside. It was awful. And I thought, okay, I'll just tear it down. Build a new one. So I went over there and I started tearing it down. Charles was helping me. We started tearing it down, taking it apart. And after I got the roof off of it, I saw how good a shape that the trusses were actually in. So I just put a new deck on it and started over and put some steel up there and put a new roof on it. And now then, it's going to look like a new little house almost when I get through with it. But I first thought about tearing the whole thing down. And I thought, no, I'll just take what I got. I can use part of it. And so it looked like he's going to make a good little house. So, but there is a time to tear down and a time to rebuild. And this come to the time I either had to tear it down or it became useless, I will have to say. I will have to say that by the water getting in the top and gotten into the insulation and all the stuff it did, that there was a lot of junk in that little house, and it had allowed a lot of rats to get in there, and the rats had got up in the ceiling. And when Charles was tearing this thing down, you know, he's getting to be a real solid young man. But when he was tearing it down, he knocked a big piece of sheetrock off. And when he did, there was a snake as big around as my arm, 6 feet long, up there in the ceiling. And, of course, it fell down in the insulation. He didn't know it. And he come over and he picked up that sheet of sheetrock, and there's that big snake under there looking at him. And he said, "Now, Thurman, if this had been a year ago, you'd have had to catch me down the road." But he said, "I'm getting fearless now that I'm learning more about Jesus." So he said, "I'm not afraid of that snake anymore. I'm learning my authority." I said, "Well, praise God." I said, "Let me get a long two before, Charles." And so I got a big two before, and I said, "Let's go in there and you pick up the sheet of sheetrock." And so he reached down with his hands and gloves, and he picks up that sheet of sheetrock, and there lay that great big old snake under there. So I pushed that two before under there against his head and mashed his head against the floor. And I said, "Okay, Charles," I got him pinned down. I said, "Move the sheetrock," and he did. And of course, that big old thing's flopping all over the place, you know. I said, "Charles, go over and get the shovel." I said, "Take the shovel, start, you know, whacking him." I said, "We'll kill him with that shovel." So Charles went over and got the shovel, stepped right in the middle of that big snake, you know. I'm holding his head down, and he killed him. Now, that beast was 6 feet long. I mean, I could hold his tail out here level, and his head would touch the floor, and his body's the biggest body, big around my wrist. He was a big feller. He had plenty of rats in there to eat, see? You know, that's why he's so big and fat, you know? He had plenty to eat. Ooh, don't that make you cringe, huh? You don't even want to think about that, you know? You wouldn't want to wake up in the middle of the night and find one of them laying on your bed looking at you right now. Oh. While we were up there, there was a little Muslim girl that just got saved. She's a new Christian, and she was at church. Yeah, so praise God. I was really amazed that this little girl had come to know Jesus. Now, she's going to be in for it because her family don't believe in Jesus, and she's really got a problem, and it's going to take something. But this little girl come up with her boyfriend and for prayer, and when it did, he happened to see a little insect about that big was laying on her leg or something. I don't know where it come from, but he reached over and swatted it off on the floor. All right, boy, she just went wild. You know, she jumped in there. "Oh, my goodness, goodness." I went over to put my arm. I said, "Honey, come up here. Come up here." I said, "Look at that little thing right down on the floor." I said, "Put your foot on it." "Oh, no, 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 no." I said, "You got shoes on. Put your foot on it." She said, "No, no." I said, "No, wait a minute, girl. I thought you are a Christian now." "Well, I am." I said, "God did not give us that spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind." So I said, "Look at that little tiny thing on the floor. He's this tall." I said, "Look at you. You're 5 feet tall." So I said, "You should have absolutely no fear." I said, "Just walk over there and put your foot on him and mash him." And I finally coaxed her to do that, and she mashed the little bug. And then I told her, I said, "You know, the reason I did that to you is because what I think's coming to this country, if you live in fear with a little tiny bug, you ain't going to make it through what's coming. I mean, what's coming is going to be so much more severe, and we're going to have to learn how to walk in faith." You know that, girl? we're going to have to learn to walk in faith. But if we walk in faith, think about this. How would you like to be confronted? Tom and I was talking about this a while ago. How would you like to be confronted? The king comes up and grabs you and says, everybody must bow down and worship that idol to me. I am God. Now, we got a man in Washington right now that thinks he's God. He thinks he's God. He is the Messiah. When he made that statement the other day, regardless of what people think, I was not born in a manger. That just offended me greatly. Regardless of what people think, I was not born in a manger. No, I guarantee he wasn't born in a manger. He's not the Messiah like he thinks he is. He's got a major problem. But what if he does get a hold of power? And he's trying. And what if he comes and says, now you either, what if he says, you take that flu shot, or I'm going to put you in a FEMA concentration camp. And I believe that's coming in the very near future. I believe it's coming. In fact, Pat just told me her son-in-law, which is a Navy SEAL, was required to take the shot last week. He's in the military. This is not hearsay. This is coming from her, and she talked to her daughter. And her husband was required to take both of the flu shots. It was last week? Last week. Okay. Now, we're going to have to stand in faith for that boy to believe it. He ain't going to be made sick. Because so far, the people that are taking the flu shot, there's a lot of sickness coming along behind them. A lot of it. But what are you going to do if it comes down to the time where you either take that shot? Now, if you don't take the shot, they say they're going to put you in a FEMA concentration camp, quarantine you. Now, then what are you going to do? If you go to that FEMA concentration camp, you may never come out. They may kill you. I mean, you know, I don't want to scare you, but I'm just telling you what could happen. I mean, it could happen. There's too many things out there saying this is going to happen for it not to happen. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope we can come back in here next year and ain't nothing happened. The United States of America is going good and everything's okay, but I got a feeling it ain't going to happen like that. But if I'm right, you're going to have to learn how to walk in faith. And when they say, we're going to give you that shot or else, then you say, okay, we're Christians. I believe in the power of God. And I believe Mark chapter 16, verse 18, which clearly says, no deadly poison shall hurt me. Give me the shot. And you take it. And if you do it in faith, what kind of an impact that shot going to have on you? None. What about the three boys that come up and the king says, everybody must bow down and worship that idol. When you hear the sound of the harp, the flute, and all this stuff, you got to bow down and worship my idol. Me, I am God. And anybody that don't, I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. This is a true story out of God's word. Three young men over there, Jewish boys, they wouldn't bow down. What's wrong with you boys? We don't serve you. We don't serve your God. We serve the true God. What? I'm going to give you boys one more chance. We're going to play that song one more time. If you boys don't bow down, I'm going to throw you in the furnace and I'm going to heat the furnace seven times hotter. They said, we ain't going to bow down. The God we serve is well able and he will deliver us through that fire if you put us in that fire. And boy, he went into a rage and he through those three boys. He first fired up that furnace and he got it so hot that the soldiers that took him up to throw him in, it killed the soldiers. They died on the way to throw him in, but they threw him in bound and it burned the ropes off of them, off their legs, their feet. And then boys are walking around in there. And then the king's looking, he said, didn't we throw three men in the furnace? Yes, O king. He said, there's a fourth one in there, and he looks like the Son of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out of the furnace. Oh, this is where I'd have loved that kind of faith. I said, O king, it's really nice in here. Come in. Come on in here. Woo, come in here with us. It's nice in here. Don't you see it's not bothering us? But that king didn't have that kind of faith, did he? Them boys had faith, and that's why Jesus showed up in that furnace with them, because they had faith. He didn't show up in there because when they started to throw him in, they're like, please, don't throw us in there, we'll worship you. No, they didn't go to that kind of fear, did they? But that's what's wrong with us. We're a bunch of fearmongers in this country. Here we are, the children of the Most High God, that's got every promise of God given to us. And what do? Go out and sin and do stupid things. Instead of walking holy and obedient to His Word and purifying ourselves from all evil and walking in the God kind of love like the King told us to do, we get into the things of the world. Well, let me tell you, them boys come out of that furnace. And now the King changed what he had to say. He said, now then, everybody here must bow down and worship their God. Amen. If you don't bow down and worship their God, I'm going to throw you in that furnace. Now see, God, He can change things by your faith, can't He, girl? Now then, how many of us have that kind of faith? Isn't it amazing? They say, we are required to give you this shot. I don't want it. I don't want to take it. I'm going to resist. But if you don't take it, we're going to put you in a FEMA concentration camp. We're going to quarantine you for 60 days. Okay, if that's the case, then I'm a Christian. Don't be hesitant to say, I'm a son or a daughter of the Most High God. He made me a promise in His Word. Even if you put deadly poison in me, it won't hurt me. So in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to that concentration camp. Give me the shot. It won't hurt me at all because I'm a son of the living God. And they give you the shot. And they give it to everybody else, and everybody else starts getting sick and dying, and you have absolutely no effect whatsoever. And when they see, hey, we give this shot to 500 people, 50 of them profess to be Christians and said, this won't hurt them. And them 50 are still alive and vibrant, and 300 of the rest of them have died. We see a little of that. Guess what they're going to begin to say? Hey, maybe these people really know the real God. Do we know the real God? What's His name, Bill? Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's where you're going to have to be willing to say, and this is my Lord, and His name's Jesus. You cannot be ashamed of your God. You're going to have to call His name and have no fear in you, because these are the things that's coming to this country. Hey, if we take His name and use His name, He will honor His name when we're walking in obedience to His Word. And you can take that shot and it won't hurt you at all. But don't you take that shot without claiming His promises.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, America is Being Destroyed from Within, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.